This is Mitch Easter of Sneakers, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Accra.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Accra, and you're listening to the WGXC Morning Show. Today, around 9:30 a.m., we'll speak live with Columbia County resident Michael Richardson, one of the people behind the Hate Watch report, which is tracking hate groups and other extremists in the Upper Hudson Valley. We'll also hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And it all begins after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
This is the news. This is the network. Network. On waves controlled, on air, in air, channel connection, and the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network, network.
WGXC underwriting support has been provided by Dedicated Presentation Solutions. Allow DPS to turn your audiovisual how-do-I's into here's how you cans. Visit dedicatedpresentation.com or call 845-475-8465 for more information. Dedicated Presentation Solutions, your audiovisual partner.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Marcus DeGrazia Acupuncture of Austerlitz, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about Creative Community Radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about anything you hear here. The Hill reported that the United States broke its record for COVID-19 hospitalizations on January 11th, with more than 145,000 people in the hospital with the virus. Quote, the percent in the ICU is much lower than previous surges, but that doesn't mean that we're not getting overwhelmed, unquote, said Carlos Del Rio, an infectious disease doctor at Emory University and at Grady Hospital in Atlanta. Locally, with case counts breaking records daily, both Greene and Columbia counties are now giving the public less information about coronavirus as of January 11th. Quote, due to our inability to accurately complete all case investigations and contact tracing, we have removed the line regarding residents on quarantine from our daily grid, unquote, the Greene County Public Health Department posted on social media. Columbia County had a different reason for releasing less information to the public. Quote, our department no longer has the capacity to manage contacts. Therefore, we will be removing that line from our daily updates, unquote, officials there posted. Columbia County officials did report 106 new COVID-19 cases, while there were 92 more cases announced in Greene County on January 11th.
Natasha Von Holdridge reports for Columbia Greene Media that Columbia Memorial Health Hospital in Hudson is limiting visitation to one healthy person per patient at a time for up to 30 minutes only during one 2-hour window a day. Columbia Memorial spokesman Bill Van Syke said, and I quote, "It certainly coincided with and was a result of the increase in transmission of the Omicron variant in the community. So we went from the hours were 2 to 6 p.m., and now they've been reduced to 3 to 5 p.m., one visitor at a time for 30 minutes," end quote. The hospital currently has 26 COVID-positive patients, and you can read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
Mid-Hudson News is reporting that Governor Kathy Hochul has signed a bill into law designed to help bridge the digital divide in rural and underserved areas. The measure was sponsored by State Senator Michelle Hinchey of Saugerties and Assemblymember Kerry Warner of Round Lake. The legislation will make it easier and more affordable for broadband providers to install internet service on utility poles by requiring a fair distribution of installation costs between service providers and utility corporations and streamlining the contract process for broadband expansion projects. When broadband providers try to install new internet service lines on utility poles, they are often charged with exorbitant costs, including requests to fund replacing the entire pole, which can increase project costs several times higher than budgeted. This results in significant delays and discourages providers from expanding coverage in rural communities. The new legislation clarifies that pole owners currently collecting a fee from ratepayers for utility pole replacements cannot shift the cost burden to broadband service providers. They instead must divide the expenditure in a fair and equitable manner. The measure also simplifies pole contracting for providers and municipalities by placing all utility poles in a given city, town, or village under one contract to create a more efficient system for providers to expand broadband service. Regulations previously required broadband providers to obtain contracts for each utility pole they intended to use. Read more about this story at MidHudsonNews.com.
Jeanette Wolfberg reports for the Columbia paper that the Hudson Housing Authority again needs a new executive director. In late October, the Hudson Housing Authority 7-member Board of Commissioners hired Nick Zakos, the former head of the Hudson's Youth Department, and Aisha Davey as interim co-executive directors. But Davey only lasted about a week and a half before deciding to quit, and Zakos now says he's leaving April 1st. Zakos said after being hired, and I quote, "I've been impressed by the way the staff has operated in the absence of a director," end quote. Zakos outlined what issues the next executive director will face, saying that he hears about most from HAA tenants about security and pest management, and also that over 75% of what he hears could relate to some aspect of mental health. The story does not give a timeline on when a new executive director might be hired. Read more about this story in the Columbia paper.
Nick Reisman is reporting for New York State of Politics that a coalition of organizations and Democratic state lawmakers urged Governor Kathy Hochul on January 11th to back a pay raise for home care workers as the state budget season begins. Hochul last week in her State of the State address called for a pay raise for the state's healthcare workers with goal of boosting employees in the sector by 20% over the next 5 years. But an issue for home care workers has been an even more acute shortage that has been blamed on low wages. State Senator Rachel May released a report finding that 60% of open healthcare jobs are in the home care sector. Quote, "New York State is facing a dire shortage in home care workers because we are paying these professionals poverty-level wages, forcing individuals who love their work to leave the caregiving industry for jobs that pay more," unquote, said State Senator Michelle Hinchey. One of the main concerns is that the state's aging population, which has led to worries over whether there will be enough workers to provide care to elderly people in the coming years. Senator Samara Brock said, quote, "For those aging at home, a well-staffed, quality home care workforce is critical. Home care workers care for our aging parents and grandparents and must be paid appropriately for their critical work they do," unquote. Read more about this story at NewYorkStateOfPolitics.com.
The nonprofit activist group Capital Area Relief and Liberation condemned the Catskill Village police after a video was released showing officers shooting a man with a taser who had just doused himself with hand sanitizer. The video shows Catskill police officers running and hiding instead of helping 29-year-old Jason Jones after they tased him and he burst into flames. Jones later died after an extended stay in the burn unit of a Syracuse hospital. The video shows two Catskill police officers running out of their station's lobby after he burst into flames, and another who, instead of helping, stood, and I quote, around the corner of an interior wall rather than rush to the aid of the man who was burning in front of him, end quote. Capital Area Relief and Liberation released a statement January 10th that said, in part, and I quote, while we're disgusted beyond measure at the actions of the Catskill Village Police, we're not surprised. The video shows absolutely no reason for Jason to die. Police tossed all training out of the window, had multiple officers giving conflicting orders, and did not allow mental health personnel to take the lead in a situation that absolutely didn't call for armed force. Last week, the Times quoted an anonymous police official who was not involved in the case, saying that his officers are trained to never use a taser on an individual who may have been recently exposed to a flammable liquid, including hand sanitizer, which contains alcohol. He also said officers should have helped the man immediately. The official said, and I quote, once the threat has been stopped, you don't just say, I'm going to let the person burn, end quote. The Attorney General's office said in a statement, and I quote, the release of this footage is not an expression of any opinion as to the guilt or innocence of any party in a criminal matter or any opinion as to how or whether any individual may be charged with a crime, end quote.
The Berkshire Eagle is reporting that two arts institutions located in the Berkshires have been awarded grants from the National Endowment for the Arts. The Massachusetts Museum of Contemporary Art in North Adams will receive a $45,000 grant to support E.J. Hill Break Run Helix. The sculptural installation will include a performance stage, freestanding sculptures, watercolors, and a functional roller coaster all inside MassMoca's Building 5 gallery, according to a news release. Jacob's Pillow Dance Festival in Beckett will receive a $75,000 grant to support its dance programs. Quote, the National Endowment for the Arts provides vital support for cultural institutions and the communities they serve, unquote, MassMoca director Christy Edmonds said in a press release. Quote, it allows us to foster the bold and dynamic visions of artists such as E.J. Hill, helping them create expansive new work that engages and challenges our visitors. We are grateful for the NEA's continued recognition and support of MassMoca, unquote. E.J. Hill's Break Run Helix will open at MassMoca in October. Read more about the story in the Berkshire Eagle.
Brendan J. Lyons reports in the Times Union that residents in just two communities affected by contaminated water from so-called forever chemicals, or PFOAs, can take part in a health study to monitor the long-term effects of exposure. That helps those drinking from polluted underground wells in Newburgh and eastern Rensselaer County, but not in Cairo in Greene County. The state is running an invitation-only study that will include having participants provide urine and blood samples. State Department of Health Acting Commissioner Dr. Mary T. Bassett said, and I quote, New York State is collaborating with some of the best researchers in the country to collect data from participants with common exposures. What we learn by working with these researchers could provide important clues about how the complex relationship between PFAS exposures through drinking water and human health outcomes, end quote. The Hoosick Falls area in Rensselaer County, downtown Cairo in Greene County, including the elementary school, and the city of Newburgh in Orange County, have all been polluted with PFOAs. In Cairo, a firefighting training center where firefighters practiced using PFOA-infected foam is the source of the problem. In Hoosick Falls, manufacturing companies, including Saint-Gobain, caused the problem. PFO exposure has been linked to testicular and kidney cancer and thyroid disease. And you can read more about this story in the Times Union.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant.
Have a good day. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Wednesday, partly sunny with a high near 33 degrees. Wednesday night, mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 23. And on Thursday, partly cloudy with a high near 38 degrees. And Thursday night, mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 18 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM. Radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
You have tuned into all sorts of creative community voices on the radio Wednesday, January 12th at WGXC 90.7 FM, including at 10 a.m. we hear the Synth Eclectico show with tracks today from Alex Nembrodi, Ariel Silver, and Alex Braidwood, among others. At noon, Cat Power, Allison Krauss, and Casey Musgraves are among the featured artists on the All Mixed Up show after the local news. Then the radio station WBCN is featured on today's Radio Survivor program at 3 p.m. At 7 p.m., we're live with WBAI's Off the Hook show. It's simulcast on WGXC from the 2600 Hacker Collective. Then at 8 p.m., we tune in some dub with Music for the Masses and Neva Wartell. And at 10 p.m., it's time for the dark side of the tune, with the mysterious return of Bobby Nobby on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.
To get a local event mentioned on All Together Now, go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page, and copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
The Catskill High School Interact Club has scheduled its Martin Luther King March for Peace and Justice for February 17th. The event meets at the Second Baptist Church in Catskill at 5 p.m. Then a candlelight march starts at 5:15 p.m. The group will march from the Second Baptist Church, that's at Upper Main Street on Catskill, to the Greene County Courthouse, to the Catskill Middle School lawn. That is, again, the Martin Luther King March for Peace and Justice, February 17th, organized by the Catskill High School Interact Club. Go to the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org for more information about this event and many other community events in your area.
Welcome to the Jazz Disturbance. A show featuring jazz and other improvisational music from local, regional, worldwide, and world-class artists, connecting listeners with the people and places presenting in the area. The Jazz Disturbance airs on the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 5th Sunday of each month from our Hudson studio from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. The Jazz Disturbance, 90.7 degrees, hot.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Wednesday, January 12th. Early on, it's 11 in New Salem and 14 in Mellonville. A warm front heading out to sea will make some wind gusts around 9 a.m. and raise temperatures above freezing today. A high of 35 is expected at 3 p.m., then around dark, temperatures fall below freezing. Watch for surface ice. Dusk will be the most dangerous time to travel. Overnight won't be as cold as last night. Temperatures fall to only 26 degrees. A dusting of snow is expected around 9 a.m. before things warm up and melt away at 40 degrees around 2 p.m. Temperatures fall into the 20s again overnight into Friday, which is looking dry with a high of 29 degrees. The weekend will be freezing cold and dry. Next Monday, looks like we're getting some snow. Today's tide schedule is low tide at 5:01 a.m., high tide at 11:02 a.m., low tide again at 5:51 p.m., and high tide again at 11:26 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 32 degrees. Don't expect that to change too much. Sunset today will be at 4:30 p.m. and sunrise tomorrow will be at 7:18 a.m. Looking way up, we see that far side region of the sun has popped off another explosion. Who knows what it will have in store as it swings into view this weekend. The circumambient plasma stream speed is currently 376 kilometers per second at 6.6 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 4 megahertz till dark, then fair below 30 megahertz overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 2. Quiet. The current sunspot number is 51. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And by the way, if you have any suggestions or questions, please send them to weather@wgxc.org.
Wavefarm's WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Joan Schumann of Watsonville, California. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Broadcast over any FM car radio.
Hey, good looking. We'll be back to pick you up later.
Throw away your bulky transmitters and broadcasting towers. The Superstar Celebrity Microphone lets you hear your voice through any AM radio.
Hey, good looking. We'll be back to pick you up later.
He's in for some loving.
From 1997, this is Isotope 217 with the song Leggetti from the Unstable Molecule album.
Thank you.
That is Isotope 217 on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM with the Unstable Molecule there. And now we are joined live with by Columbia County resident Michael Richardson, one of the people behind the Hate Watch report. Michael, are you there?
I am here. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning. Can you tell us, I guess, first what the Hate Watch report is?
Well, Hate Watch report, to be clear, it's not a group. It is merely what we call a tool. Going back to a year ago, we'll remember the insurrection. There were questions around the county about just what was happening with Patriot Fronts, right-wing extremists, whatever you want to call them, in Columbia County. And some of the casual conversations we had were that, well, you know, the focus is not just down in Washington, D.C., or what might be happening in another part of the country. It's in your backyard. Where do you think these people come from? And Columbia County actually has quite a history with extremism that many people did not know about. So we decided to put together exactly what it is, a Hate Watch report. And this affords an opportunity for people to notify someone that there's some activity going on, to look into it and then report about it. And not to, in any way, to be demeaning upon our public safety officials in the county, whether they be the county sheriff or a town or village police force. But if someone were to call into one of those agencies, it's very likely that it would be picked up by anybody, because it wouldn't go onto the police blotter unless there was an actual crime. So we felt it was important to get some information out into the public and also to notify the media when we see this activity going on.
And unfortunately, I think you've been pretty busy recently. Is that true or not?
Well, I have to say that somewhere around September and October, I was wondering whether or not we needed Hate Watch report any longer, because there was quite a few reports in August that we can talk about with the Patriot Front. But things were quiet, and that's good, right? We'd like to be completely unnecessary. And then, yes, suddenly here in December, there was a flurry of activity, a little bit from the Patriot Front, and this new emergence that we'll talk about here on White Lives Matter. Now, there's also, and I really want to separate this, an unrelated and unconnected set of incidents that are happening with some anti-vaxxers. This is not coming out of the right extreme. It's coming out of a different group altogether, an anti-vax extreme. And again, I want to draw a clear connection that there's no direct link there. There are some indirect links that are quite disturbing.
So,
we could talk about the Patriot Front. We could talk about White Lives Matter. And we could talk a little bit about this strange relationship between the anti-vaxxers and the right.
Yeah, so tell us what they're doing. I think I saw reports in Rensselaer County of some stickers last week. I know I've seen reports of sticker activity in Columbia County that you guys have tracked. But what are these groups actually doing in our community?
Well, in particular, what we're noting with the Patriot Front and the White Lives Matter, and this is current, is that these are organizations that have not been at all established in the region. The Patriot Front had quite a bit of activity a long year ago around the insurrection down in Rockland County, Orange County, and the like. And they go around, this is their tactic. They talk about it on their website. This is what they employ. They go around putting up stickers about the Patriot Front. And there's QR codes, or there's website links that you can go to. And these are their recruiting stickers. And again, that's not my designation. They call it that themselves. They use this method to recruit people. So quite often, there'll be a blitz where they go into a community and they put up some stickers. And someone will go along, maybe a young person, who knows, maybe not, an older person, and they see the sticker and they're inquisitive, and it goes down that path. to where they make contact and maybe they become interested. Maybe they start to form a Patriot Front group themselves. So we saw quite a bit of that activity going through from the spring all the way through the summer of 2021, and we reported on it, I think, four times. And the Register Star picked it up, the Times Union picked it up, and of course Perry Teasdale at the Columbia paper wrote an editorial about it. So but this recent aspect is the White Lives Matter, and they're a group that came originally out of Texas, kind of went away. You know, the name has been picked up by some other people just casually as a racist tome. But we didn't see any activity up here until a person found a sticker on a park bench down by the marina, the boat launch in Hudson. And then the next we knew, there was a sticker at the old brickyard on DEC land in Stockport. And then the next we heard was another sticker in Hudson. And then there was a blitz that happened around the first of the year that you referenced earlier up in North Greenbush next to RPI's technical park. Now, the White Lives Matter is exactly what you might think it. They don't portray themselves as a patriot movement. They are a white separatist movement. They're white extremists.
And it sounds like you implied before that the Patriot Front stickers that came before seemed to be placed by an outsider that coming into the community. And this activity maybe sounds more like somebody that's here spreading. Am I interpreting things too much, or what evidence do you have?
I don't think you are. Again, we have to be careful about what we assume,
right?
Because we always get surprised. But the with the Patriot Front, they have a again, it's their style. They've been studied. We understand what they do throughout the country, and they will go through an area and sticker it in hope of picking up some traction. With the White Lives Matter, they're trying to come up with regional groups. In fact, there is WLM New York, and they're trying to establish a local identity, a local movement. Now, let me just say, Tom, as we go on to maybe another topic here, is we often get the question, where did they come from? Who are they? And the answer is, they didn't come from anywhere. They've always been here. They just had different names. Way back when, they were the Klan. Not so long ago, they were the Oath Keepers. Few people know that Columbia County was a focal point for the Oath Keepers all the way up until 2009. I started in 2009. From 2009 all the way up until 2017, yep. Columbia County was the headquarters for Oath Keepers New York State.
Yeah, didn't our former congressperson speak at the Oath Keepers around?
Yes. There is a Hate Watch report that featured a YouTube video where Faso is speaking. He's the lead speaker. He introduces the Constitutional Sheriff Award. And, of course, the MC of this is the former John Wallace, the former chair of the Chatham Republicans. And he had the statewide office out of his home here in Chatham, New York. So a few people recognize that just as late as 2017, when John Wallace died, that the headquarters of Oath Keepers New York was here. The Oath Keepers started in 2009 at the same time that Rhodes started up the Oath Keepers nationwide. And Rhodes spoke at all three of the award dinners, the second award dinner being that one that Faso spoke at. And that also gets on to another Hate Watch report that we had last year on the Constitutional Sheriff Movement. We often get these questions about, well, have the far right penetrated into police departments? And what type of vetting is going on? And we wanted to point out, well, what good is vetting if the person doing the vetting is an oath keeper. And that was the case right in Greene County and still to the case up in Lewis County and a few other places in New York State where they are strong, strong members of the constitutional movement. And if you take an opinion for mine to be of any value, I'm more worried about the constitutional sheriff movement than I am the oath keepers.
Hmm. That's so you, when you're calling up the local police to report on these activities, you may be talking to a member of one of these groups.
Well, let's not be too general there. I mean, first of all, I have to say that my little village here of Chatham, I don't think we need a small little village police department. We do. They're wonderful people, and there's no problem there. I think quite highly of some of the other local police departments. But, you know, beware, because just as late as the previous sheriff in Greene County, he was the recipient of the Constitutional Sheriff Award. Now, what does that mean? It'd be like me going to a Klan meeting. I'm not a Klan member, but they give me the award of the year. What does that mean?
They like what you're doing.
That's right.
So my comment earlier about maybe this is some of this is outsiders is immaterial because there are definitely people that hold these views here.
Yes, yes. Now, again, I think the Patriot Front, I have not been able to find any one person that is affiliated directly with Patriot Front. With the White Lives Matter, we haven't identified anybody, but they're identifying themselves as being local people. When it comes to the Oath Keepers, I think most people took down their banner and crawled back into their hole, but they reemerged in a different manifestation. You don't see Confederate flags around any longer. We did a scan.
Well, I mean, there's a Confederate flag about 800 yards from me in this direction.
I've heard about that one, and there was one in Clabrack. I think he's finally brought it down. But we did a tour, part of Hate Watch Report, our community watch, where people just kind of did an inventory of hate signs around the county. And we only found two Confederate flags that were still flying, but a robust demonstration of the Gadsden flag. That's that beautiful yellow flag that has the snake, don't tread on me.
Mm. And that's a clear right-wing symbol?
All you got to do is watch the footage of the insurrection of the Capitol, and then you tell me.
Yeah.
That flag is the most prominent flag in that whole demonstration other than the U.S. flag. And it's kind of sad. I know we have limited time here. It's kind of sad. A friend of mine, we joke about this. We're both old hippies, right? And we say, damn those guys. Damn it. That flag was cool, man. That was like, you know, yellow flag, snake, don't tread on me. I mean, that was a cool flag. And they co-opted it. And now it's a symbol. And damn those Proud Boys. Like, I own three Hawaiian shirts. Now I can't wear a Hawaiian shirt because everybody thinks I'm a Proud Boy. And even, like, I'm an old guy with mostly bald with a ponytail and a beard, and I got a little bit of a pot belly. I look just like those guys. And you're like, yeah, everything that was, like, cool and groovy has been co-opted by the far right.
Well, and two, it also makes it a little more difficult to I mean, if you saw someone walking down the street with a Confederate flag, you have a lot of knowledge about them. But if they're wearing a Hawaiian shirt, you know, they might be, but they also might just be some older dad.
Right, yeah. I would be a little bit suspect if I saw a 60-year-old guy with a Hawaiian shirt carrying a Gadsden flag.
Especially today.
Yeah.
In this temperature.
But yeah, I mean, to our point here, not to hog too much more time on this, is that, like, if you were just to take a photograph completely out of context of the insurrection, it would look like a reunion of the Furry Freak Brothers, right?
Yeah. this is so far locally, we're not, I mean, I think some of the protests a year ago, we heard the White Lives Matter chants from the counter protesters. but and we're seeing sticker activity. So, you know, they're trying to recruit people locally. Are we seeing and they're putting things on like the back of stop signs and light poles and, you know, things where you see punk rock stickers in towns. Typically, you correct me if I'm wrong on any of this. And then, are we seeing any, like, you know, the way many people communicate in fringe groups is they put flyers at record stores and bookstores and local businesses. Are we seeing any of that? Is there anything like a brazen support of a retail establishment locally, or is it just in secret places and communities?
As you said, they're on poles and backs of stop signs or utility boxes, you know, like those 3 foot by 5 foot utility boxes you'll see in places. That's where the stickering goes, or on park benches. Now, the same thing is happening with this anti-vaxxer group, the White Rose. They're putting stickers up on public where the public returns their books to the library. We've had 2 stickerings of those. In Hudson, there was stickering going on the cover that went over the parking meters when there was free parking during the holiday shopping. But not in the old billboards. You know, back when we were resisting nukes and wars and whatnot, we posted at the food co-op and at the laundromat and all those places, but no. And I think it is that people... they don't want to be that obvious. If somebody goes over and puts something up in a laundromat, you're going to see somebody do it unless the laundromat's empty. But no one has ever reported that to Hate Watch Report. Hmm.
And you mentioned the former Greene County Sheriff and the former Chatham official. Are there any current officials that are at all aligned with any of these groups?
In our region?
Yeah.
No.
At least not that you know of, right?
Not that we know of. You have to go to Lewis County and Hamilton County to find that. Yeah.
And there have been a couple. There was have there been any events? I guess I think I vaguely remember some events that maybe got canceled. There are, maybe I'm mixing up with some anti-vaxxer events that have some crossover here.
Right. There was one anti-vax event that was canceled, and it resulted soon after Owen Higgins put out a report. He's a journalist that's from Hillsdale and Great Barrington. He did it was on Naomi Wolf speaking at a
right. That's,
event.
Yeah.
They were co-opting the Juneteenth holiday. And that one got canceled. Then there was the festival in the field in Claverack, New York. That was not canceled. There was about 100 and some people came to it. And that was controversial because the fundraising that was, the funds were going to 3 groups that have direct links with the far right. And this is that bizarre association that's going on. There's a fairly large group of anti-vaxxers in Columbia County based that we would identify as the libertarian left, for lack of a better description. That's a sloppy description, but it kind of delivers the message. The libertarian left. There are people that on almost every issue that you could bring up, you would have agreement on. I would agree with. But when it comes to the vaccinations, they're anti-vaxxers, and they've become rather extreme in that realm of misinformation crossing over into disinformation.
Yeah, I think I remember before the pandemic running into them at a some Congressman Delgado event where they were sort of in the back and handing out flyers.
Right. The organization is known as Do We Need This? And of course, a very, very good report was done by Will Solomon at the River Chronogram. It's online today. It's been there for about the past 4 days. And Will just did, he worked on it for 2 months where he really looked deeply, deeply into what's going on with Do We Need This? And again, let's be clear, Do We Need This is not a right-wing or right-leaning group. It's quite the opposite. but it has this bizarre relationship with the right. And they share platforms, they share fundraising, they speak at each other's events. And it's just bizarre because they really should be disavowing the people that they're embracing. And the reason they're embracing is they have a common theme: anti-vax, anti-mask, anti-government. Most bizarre.
Because, I mean, the position of being anti-vaccine has almost become a right-wing thing. I mean, Donald Trump has come out recently wholeheartedly for vaccines. So you're basically a little to the right of him. I mean, unless you're on this libertarian left, too, that, you know, was there was this anti-vax libertarian left before the pandemic, certainly.
Yes. Yeah, you're very right that as you know, you follow the news, Trump got booed because he came out saying, go get your, not only your full shots, but get your booster.
Yeah, and yesterday he went off on DeSantis because DeSantis won't say whether or not he's gotten a booster shot. And he started criticizing him on OAN, which Mid-Hudson Cable just added OAN, the hate news channel, or I wouldn't say news, excuse me, but they already have Newsmax, and now they've added OAN as of this week. That's a different story, but
worthy of a boycott, I would say.
do you go back further in this about Columbia County's history in racism?
Well, Columbia County's history in racism is the same as the United States history in racism. It was, certainly institutionalized to the point where it really didn't have an outward expression. This is quite a conversation for us to have in just a few minutes, but if racism is totally institutionalized to the point of, to the extreme slavery, and if you don't have that, you have Jim Crow, well, then you don't have to be a racist because all people that you're after are under your thumb. But when people start to have rights, when they start to be fully integrated into your population and to play into the white extremists, the White Lives Matter fears, they actually start to make up a majority of your population. Now, that's not to say that any one particular characteristic is the majority, but there are more people that are not like you than are like you. Well, now racism starts to express itself rather loudly. And that's, I think, what's you read all the commentaries about Trump, like what makes Trump possible? Fear of what? Fear of being in the minority. And so as that starts to happen, you see people come out. Now, in our part of the state, our part of the country, the folks that are open-minded and progressive actually outnumber the people that aren't. And so it's not cool to express yourself. And so you go to, you get censored. You get censored. You can't be on Twitter. You can't be on Facebook. Your letter to the editor gets snuffed out. You can't be on your talk show, whatever. And so where do you go? Well, you go to Telegram and you start going to the underground web. And again, you can read plenty of other commentaries than from me on how that is happening.
Yeah, and it is true that WGXC allows all different points of view to be aired, but we don't allow hate speech. That's the one thing. So you can't. That's not a platform for that forum. What worries you most now?
What worries me most now are people not being fully aware of how real this is, how it is happening in our community. Again, as I said somewhat casually to you, where did these people come from? Well, they've always been here. Where did all those Oath Keepers go after John Wallace died and headquarters went down to Westchester? Where did all those Oath Keepers? Well, they didn't go anywhere. They're still here, and they didn't change their minds. But they are here. They still believe what they believe, maybe even more so. They're still afraid even more so. And we need to be aware of that. And we need to be talking about it in our community, We need to talk about it in our places of assembly, whether that be your temple, your sangha, your church. These are not topics that should just be put aside as, I don't want to talk about that. Can't we all get along? We need to open up dialogue. No, we need to be aware that something really bad is going down. Because as Stephen Stills' song, everybody stop, listen, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. We need to be there. And hopefully that's what Hate Watch Report is doing. We don't offer opinion. We just report.
So if somebody sees something in their community, what should they do? How can they get in touch with you and let you guys know about it?
Well, hopefully it's simple enough as hatewatchreport.com. This guy, kind of voteforbiden.com. Yeah, just remember hatewatchreport.com, and that's the website.
And do you get a lot of? How do you find out information? You have regular people that are looking, or is it somewhat random?
How do we track whether something's real or not?
Oh, that too, yeah. But I just meant, do you get a lot of tips, or do you have regular contributors?
No, it's all tips. It all comes from tips.
So this is one place where a community member can do some good.
Yeah, and again, that's why we founded it. And again, I'll give you an example here. Those White Lives Matter stickers up in North Greenbush. Someone sent in a telegram video, and we put that into a newsletter and got it out. At the same time, I sent a copy of that newsletter to the North Greenbush police chief and the North Greenbush town supervisor. Within an hour, the chief corresponded back to me saying, did not know about this, sending a detective down, we'll secure the area, and if there's stickers here, we'll take pictures and take them down. And he said, call me tomorrow, I'll give you a follow-up. That was wonderful response, and that's what I expect from any of the police departments that we contact about when we get a report. We just don't put it in a newsletter and send it out. I do call the elected officials, and if there is police, I call the police in that particular municipality. So that's, if that report had gone directly to the police department, none of us would have known about it. Because the police are not going to turn around and call Channel 6 News and say, hey, come on down, look what I found.
And they probably, I mean, it's because do they not have a category to put this in? They don't collect this sort of information about stickers being put on?
They would not have a report. And if it did, it would show up as a check mark in vandalism.
Right, it would just be mixed in with other vandalism statistics and not have any statistic of its own. So there's no way to track this except by what you're doing.
Right, right. And Tom, I think one thing, we also get criticized, and we have our own internal debate on, there's this thing of don't give them being the extremist, a platform. There's that saying that we use journalism, don't give them any oxygen. Just they're not a major player. They're trying to get attention. Don't give them attention. And that is a very credible argument. It's very real, and we weigh it very, very heavily. But what we were talking about just a moment ago, what am I most afraid about? People not knowing that it is happening in their neighborhood. And they need to have an eye out for it, and they need to speak truth to it. They need to stand up. I mean, we need to have that town supervisor in North Greenbush did not call me. Now, why did that town supervisor not have a press release the next day condemning it? That's what we have to have. It's not ignore it and don't give them any oxygen. You have to bring it to people's attention and say, no hate in my town. Now, recently, the town of New Lebanon, the town of Chatham, and soon is my understanding the town again may be passing resolutions, anti-hate resolutions. New Lebanon and Chatham have done that. Believe it or not, the Board of Supervisors of Columbia County did it. And now we're looking for the other town leaders to speak up with a very direct statement, as I said, no hate in our town. And every time something like this happens, they need to speak. When the Patriot Front stickers were happening down in Germantown, that town supervisor, Gurry, who was not reelected, not because of this, but he spoke out. He was in the press. He actually personally went and took a sticker down. But we need more of that. More leadership.
So we have about 45 seconds left, and we're going to get cut off. Is there anything you want to leave people with? And again, give us the web address one more time, too.
Well, the web address is hatewatchreport, all one word, of course, .com. And just, again, keep the dialogue going and bear witness, which means to speak the truth to this type of extremism. And so when you see it, speak to it. Don't ignore it. When somebody has a racial slur or in some way misrepresents, call them.